Okay, you can go ahead and ask the question.
Question number one from Nick, New Zealand. When practicing repetition of Buddha in the daily life with intention of not thinking, there's a lot of pressure. How do we deal with this pressure when our focus is on the word Buddha?
Well, it's just natural. It's something that you have to endure, because your thought will try to go against your repetition of Buddha. So it's like a tug of war, which is natural that you will feel the pressure. So you just have to ignore the pressure and just keep repeating the mantra. Or if you tire of repeating the mantra, you can use something else, like watching what you are doing at the moment. If you are eating, just focusing on just eating alone. If you are taking a shower, just focus on taking the shower. Don't let your mind go think about other things.
This next question. Is it possible that Buddha is not suitable for some people?
Yeah, you can use some other thing. You can use Dhammo, you can use Sangho, you can use Jesus, you can use God, you can use death, anything, any kind of word that will prevent you from thinking about other things. Or you can chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Short chanting or long chanting, you can recite the whole sutta. Like I used to recite the 4 Satipatthana Sutta.
His next question, can awareness be taken as an object of meditation instead of Buddha?
Yes, but you don't have awareness. The problem is your awareness is very fickle, very weak. So you need something more obvious, like the Buddha or the body. Awareness is something that you don't have continuously.
Question number two from Danny Teo, Singapore. I experienced a much faster breathing rate and also a slower breathing rate during meditation, and both gave me a feeling of pleasantness. So in jhana, is the breathing rate is slower or faster than normal breathing rate?
Normally, if the mind becomes calmer, then the breathing rate will be slower. So, and if the mind becomes almost completely calm, sometimes the breathing might seem to disappear as well. That means the breathing is very, very slow. Maybe we might breathe once a minute or something like that. That's why the monk can enter into jhana, because the body will be hibernating. It won't be using much energy.
Question number three from Martin Gito, Newark, New Jersey, United States. In the West, when we think of heart, it means the emotion or good qualities. But when I hear monks in Thai forest tradition speak about heart, mostly they refer to the mind. Can you explain when the monk in forest tradition speak of the heart, what do they mean?
Usually the emotion, both good and bad emotion, good feeling and bad feelings. But sometimes we use them interchangeably. So don't be attached to the word. Just try to understand the meaning. Sometimes we use the mind in place of the heart, sometimes we use the heart in place of the mind. But generally the mind will refer to the thinking part of the non-physical part of us, the knower. The thinker is the mind, and the knower and the emotional part is the heart.
His next question, does offering money to a charity that helps poor people in a foreign country create good karma for oneself?
Yes, you can give money to anybody. It's all good karma. It's what we call dana.
His next question. Does ordering meat in a restaurant create bad karma?
As long as you know that the meat that you order from that restaurant hasn't been slaughtered by the restaurant, it's been bought in a farmer, a place where it's already been killed, then you're not directly involved in ordering that meat that to be killed, then it's okay. It's not bad karma. But if you know that, if you order meat and then you know that you are telling the people in the restaurant to go kill for you, then you cannot order.
Next question from Alan Moss, United States. I'm an American male interested in monastic training in Thai tradition in Thailand. I am employed full time in US and have saved vacation time to come to Thailand for initial exploratory visit for 1 to 2 weeks this year. I've never been to Thailand, but and I do not speak Thai. I have, however, studied yoga, Sanskrit, and Indian philosophy for some time. I have a good fortune to speak to American teacher Thanachantani Sarobhikkhu, and I viewed video of afternoon session of Prajan Suchak and read his biography and other biography of other Kamathana Acharya. So being a Westerner, is there any possibility of studying with Prajan Suchak, or would it be better, would it be more suitable to seek tutelage at Wat Pananachat in Ubon, or do you have any suitable suggestion as a study point?
This is something you have to test and trial for yourself. You just have to go and, you know, see what it's like, whether it's good for you or not good for you. So it's a matter of trial and error. You can come here if you want, or you can go to Wat Pananachat, and you can then compare, and then you might know which one is better for you.
Next question from also Holland, Israel. Is it possible to experience the Arupa Jhanas as a child?
Yes, if you already had it in your past life. Like the Lord Buddha, when he was a little child, he entered into jhana when he was left alone. That means in his past life he had already developed jhanas before. And when the condition is right for the mind to enter jhana happens, then his mind can then readily enter into jhana.
Next question from Alexander May, Florida. How to prevent from burning out of Buddhism as a monk?
How to prevent from
burning out?
Burning out, you mean disrobing?
I think, yeah, exhausted mentally.
Yeah. Well, you have to practice the middle path. Yeah. Not too hard, but not too easy. But you have to keep on practicing. You have to maintain sila. You have to maintain mindfulness in order to calm your mind. And once your mind is calm, then the kilesa that will make you burn out will disappear. And you can remain in robe all the time. But if you try too hard, try harder than you can do, you will not get any result. You will feel discouraged and you can be burned out that way. Or if you're too lazy, you will not be developing anything and you will feel burned out the same way because you're not advancing, you're not getting anything from your practice. So you have to be careful to see how much you practice, whether it is too hard for you, too much for you, or whether it's too little for you. You have to find a middle path of your own and then try to do it consistently, keeping the sila pure as much as you can. When you cannot, just accept that, okay, you're not perfect yet. Yeah. And try to develop mindfulness so that you can calm your mind and see how much you can do it. Yeah. And accept the result from what you can do and try to improve it slowly, you know, step by step. If you keep doing this, you will be in a safe place, I think. Yeah.
This next question: which texts are most important to memorize?
Yeah, I mean the sutta, the discourse. If you're a meditator, then the four foundation of mindfulness. The four foundation of mindfulness is the best text to use in your meditation practice, because it teaches you anapanasati, it teaches you the investigation, contemplation of the body, the feeling, and the mind.
Question number 7 from Chuang Dang, Melbourne, Australia. If one has depression, what can they do to ease the suffering and to practice to cure the depression?
The depression usually arises from your disappointment, from your not getting what you want. So what you need to do is to get rid of your desire, your craving, your wanting. Try to lower your desire, lower your expectation. Try to accept things as they come. Be thankful for what you have. Be grateful for what you get. Then your depression will not come up.
Next question. Would it be possible for a lay person who practice meditation and dhamma to get the same result as a monk does, or should a lay person ordain?
Ordination or not, it's not the cost of your success in practice. The cost that will make you succeed in your practice is the amount of time you spend and the way you practice, whether it's correct or not correct. So whether you are a monk or a lay person, it doesn't matter. What matters is the amount of time you have put into your practice and whether you're practicing correctly or not. This will be the determining feature that will give you the result.
Next question from Rachel, Singapore. I have been practicing Anapanasati every day, morning and evening. Each session is about an hour length. In the past, I didn't really remember my dreams, but recently after I practiced meditation, I remember my dreams I had the night before. My dreams are more vivid now. The memory about my dream kept on popping up during my meditation and it distracted me. How to have less dreams?
First of all, next time don't read too fast. Please slow. But dreams are the result of your action when you are not sleeping. When you are awake, you do things, and these things are collected into your memory. And when you sleep, these memories can come up. So you cannot prevent dreams. So don't be concerned or don't be bothered by dreams. Just accept them for what they are. They are harmless if you don't try to manage them or control them or get rid of them. Just let them be.
Next question from Ankush, 24 years old, from India. Can we attain Sotapanna level without jhana?
Usually not, because the prerequisite for having wisdom to attain the Sotapanna has to be supported by the fourth jhana. You need Pavana Maya Panya. Panya that is developed concurrently with the fourth jhana. So you need the jhana, because this is the triple training, say sila, samadhi, panya. You need sila, you have to keep your action pure. You have to have a mind that is concentrated. Then you can use wisdom to get rid of your fetters, the three fetters. Sakaya Titti, Vichikicca, and Sila Patta Paramasa. Then you need these three in order to become a Sotapanna.
His next question. I practice mindfulness moment by moment all day. If thought comes into my mind, I immediately let it go. With this practice, I realize the impermanent non-self and suffering many times. What should I do now?
This is not the way to practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is not there for you to see the impermanence. Mindfulness is for you to stop your thoughts. So when you start seeing that it's impermanent, you start thinking again. So you should not contemplate on impermanent while you're developing mindfulness. You just want to stop your thinking, whether it's about wisdom or about anything. Just stop. Just you want to stop your mind. You want to rest the mind. You want to make the mind become peaceful and happy. So you should not consider wisdom at that time when you use mindfulness. Just stop thinking. And when you start to think that your breath is impermanent, you already start thinking. In this way, you will never be able to enter into the fourth jhana. See? In order to enter the fourth jhana, you should stop thinking altogether, whether it's good thought or bad thought, you have to stop them. when after you have entered into jhana, your mind will become content and happy and strong. Then when you come out, then you can use wisdom to teach your mind that everything that you cling to is impermanent. And if you want them to be permanent, you will be sad because you will not get what you want. So if you don't want to be sad, you don't want to suffer, then you have to accept the impermanence of the things that you cling to. You must be ready to let them go when it's time for them to go.
This next question. I can realize non-self and I can let go of myself and my thoughts easily. But sometimes I want to see this empty mind again. Why is that so?
Well, empty mind is a good position, good state, because empty mind gives you happiness. So that's the goal of practice, is to get the mind into emptiness. So it's natural to want to go to that place. But by wanting is not good. You must get there by not wanting. You must get there by pushing your mind away from everything else. You must push your mind to let go of everything. Then your mind then will be in with emptiness. But by just desiring to get there will not get you there. It will get you suffering instead when you cannot get there by your desire. Okay.
His next question. What do we let go of? Vitakka or vichara?
Oh no, you let go of your possession, your whatever you are, you have, like your family, your life, your body, everything that you have to let go of. The mind, in order to separate the mind from everything else. Because everything that the mind has can cause the mind to become unhappy. Because the things that the mind has will change, will disappear. When that happens, the mind will not be happy, will be sad. But if the mind has nothing, then the mind will not be sad. So you have to get rid of everything, give up everything, even your body, your life. When you have to die, let it die. Don't resist. But when it's still living, don't make it die either. You just have to leave the body alone, leave everything alone, leave them as they are. Don't try to manage or control them.
Question number 10 from Deborah Jones, Ontario, Canada. I'm a school teacher. Sometimes there are children that do not want to follow the rules despite repeatedly asking. Some of the techniques teachers use are yelling, stay in the recess, phoning parents, making students write a note of apology, sit in corner, etc. What are the proper Dhamma ways of encouraging good behavior?
Just teaching, just telling them the reason why you should be good, the result of being good, what would you get from being good. You know, it's like selling a product. You know. Goodness is like a product. You have to contact the advertising agency and ask them how to sell this product. And then that's all you can do. If you try to sell this product and the person doesn't want to buy it, then you just have to let it be. You know, if the child doesn't want to do good, if he wants to be misbehave, then he would have to pay the consequence of his bad behavior. That's all.
Next question from Catherine Lee, Singapore. Due to high standard of education here in Singapore, I have to send my children for tuition after school so that they can get a better result. This creates stress for the children and also for me. But if I don't send them for tuition, I'm afraid that my children cannot cope with their schoolwork and possibly fail with their exam, and hence will not have good future. Should I just let my children be, and if they fail in their exam, I just accept it?
Yeah, I think that's... If you want to get rid of your stress, then you just have to lower your expectation. Let things be naturally. Yeah. Try to just do as much as you can. Yeah. Don't have to push too far. You don't have to be number one. Yeah. You can be number 40, and as long as you pass the test, it's okay. Even with a lower score, And when you get job, you might not get the best job, but as long as you get enough money to feed yourself, that's all you need to worry about.
Her next question: how do I cope with this feeling, worry and anxiety about stressful education system?
Look at the end of life. After all this this trying, this striving, this, you know, what do you end up with? You end up with zero when you die. You take, you get nothing. You have nothing. So why stress yourself out for something that you will end up giving up, losing it anyway? Just try to look at the end of life. Reflect on death. Then you will stop your craving and your desire.
Her next question: as parents who bring the children into this world, what are the responsibilities that parents must do, and what are the things that we shouldn't do as it considered as excessive for the children?
Well, first you have to raise them. You know, they have to have, they should live. You know, the body should be well fed and so forth. Then you should teach them about good and bad things. Yeah. And that's it. And if they can do what you teach them, they will be happy. If they cannot, they want to do something else, then it's up to them. You cannot force them to do what you tell them to, what to do.
Question from Stephen Morris. One is life and the other one is not life.
Okay.
The life one is, when I sit in meditation and my mind starts to calm, my head starts to feel very heavy and it starts falling to the side. Is this normal?
Yeah, anything can happen as long as your mind hasn't yet become completely calm. So just keep continuing meditating and ignoring these feelings.
His second question, which was the past question, because the live streaming was not good, so he didn't hear Ajahn's advice. My younger brother has a big problem with alcohol, and he is now getting to the stage where it's going to destroy his family. My family has asked me what I think he should do. He has been to Alcoholics Anonymous, but this is not much help for him. I know my brother believes in karma and also the Buddha, so I advise that he goes to a meditation retreat to try and find his inner self and try to fight all his defilement. Do you think that this would help?
Well, ultimately it comes down to himself. What he needs is the will to stop doing the bad thing that he's doing, and realizing that it's bad for him to keep continuing doing it. This is what he needs to know, that by continuing on the path that he's going, he's going to end up destroying everything, himself and his family. So if he can see this, and then if he has the will to resist going on down this path, then there's hope. So this is the two things that he needs to have. Then he can go and look for a place that will help him to steer him back into the right path, like going to a monastery or going to a rehab. But first of all, he has to come to terms with himself. He has to realize that the path that he's leading right now is the wrong path, and he should change that path. Secondly, he must have the willpower, the willingness to change. Once he have these two things, then it's possible to kill himself.
Next question from Ferry Yu Medan, Indonesia. My wife is possessed by her own mind. She thought that she can predict the future. She told me that she knew the future from the spirit that who follows her. We went to many spiritual advisors like astrologists, fortune tellers, etc. They all gave us the same answer, that my wife, within 2 years, will be possessed by this spirit. And this spirit is going to help other people. I'm at dead end now. What solution can Ajahn advise?
Oh, just don't pay attention to this. This thing, they are not really of the essential thing that we have to know. The real future that we need to know is that we're all gonna die. So we all know that. So the other future doesn't matter. So once we know that we're all gonna die, then we should ask ourselves, what should we be doing while we're still alive? And what we should do when still alive is do something that we can take it with us after we die. And the Buddha said the thing that we can take with us after we die are good karma. So do good karma, like dana, sila, and bhavana. Once if you can do these three things, then your future will be good after you die.
But his wife is like possessed by her own mind.
It's delusional.
Yeah. Next question from Aini, Indonesia. Why the mind is hard to train?
Well, because it used to be itself for a long time. So when you try to train it to be something else, it will resist. But it's not impossible. You just have to be patient and you have to be persistent in your training.
Next question from Patrick Markalik, Czech Republic. I'm 22 years old and a college student. Can you explain how to practice Anapanasati while doing sitting meditation?
When you're sitting cross-legged and set your body straight, once you have set your body properly, then you should forget about the body. And then you should then concentrate or focus on your breathing, your breath at the tip of your nose, where the breath comes into contact with the body, when it comes in or when it goes out. And just watch at that point, focus at that point your attention. Just be observing and don't do anything. Don't do any thinking, don't do any analyzing or anything, any thought, any kind of thought. Just watch. Just be aware that the breath comes in, the breath goes out. If the breath is short, just know it is short. If it's long, just know it is long. It is coarse, just know it is coarse. It is fine or subtle, just know for what it is. Don't try to manage or control your breath. Even if the breath seems to disappear, don't get excited or worry. Just be aware that there's no breath to be aware of. Just keep focusing on emptiness. Then your mind will eventually drop into calm. And the breath will disappear and sometimes the body will disappear. And then you'll be left alone with yourself, with the knower. And you'll be happy.
His next question, would you explain the proper method of walking meditation?
It's the same way like sitting. Instead of focusing on your breath, you focus on your walking, on your step, on your foot, your feet. When you move your left foot, you say left. When you move your right foot, say right, left, right, left, right. Just to stop you from thinking about other things. Just doing this until you feel tired, then you come back and sit again. You cannot get full absorption from walking. You need to walk in order to alleviate your physical pain after sitting for a long time. After you sit for a long time, you feel painful, then you get up and walk to relieve the pain. After you walk until you feel tired, then you go back and sit again. But the important thing is to be mindful when you walk, to be mindful when you sit. When you sit, be mindful of your breath. When you walk, be mindful of your feet, of your walking.
His next question, how to do practice while not doing sitting or walking meditation?
Focus on what you do at the moment. If you're brushing your teeth, just watch your brushing of your teeth. Don't go think about other things. If you're washing your face, just watch your washing of your face. Don't go think about other things.
Next question from Mr. Alex. It is often when I meditated for about 30 minutes in half lotus posture, one of my legs start to feel the pain. I try to ignore it and not to be bothered by it. The pain continue to exist, but it's bearable. I then switch the leg position, and this enable me to stay focused for another half an hour. Is switching leg position okay?
It is okay, but it's not good. Because you're not going over the hurdle. See, your pain is the hurdle for you, for your mind to enter into a deeper state of calm. If you move your feet, then you're going back to at the starting point again. So it is going backward when you move your body, when you switch your position. But if you want to move forward and go over the hurdle, then you just have to remain in the same position and then keep reciting a mantra. to overcome the hurdle. Just keep reciting Butoh Butoh, maybe more faster, more rapidly, to pull your mind from thinking about the pain of the body. If you can succeed, then eventually your mind will stop resisting the pain, and then your mind will drop into calm, and then the pain sometime will disappear by itself. So don't try to move your body. Don't move your body. You should focus more on your mantra, on something to stop your mind from resisting the pain.
Next question from Te Suan Sim. How do I know whether I'm enlightened or not yet?
If you still ask this question, then you are not. So as long as you still keep asking yourself, then you are not enlightened. And by not asking yourself, it doesn't mean you are enlightened either. You have to understand the Four Noble Truths. You have to know that all your mental suffering arises from your desire, your cravings. And you have to realize that you no longer have any mental suffering, because you have got rid of all your desire and your craving. Then you know you are enlightened.
Next question from Mei Ying Lo, Malaysia. Is there any possibility that Ajahn makes a few 1 or 2 hours guided meditation videos and post it on YouTube?
Well, you don't need a guide when you meditate, see. You need a guide when you're not meditating right now. So you just learn how to meditate by listening to Dhamma talk. Once you know the way to meditate, then you don't need someone to guide you while you meditate. You want to be left alone. You don't want to be disturbed by the sound of the instructor, the voice of the instructor. You want to focus on your attention, on your breath, or on your mantra.
Next question from Evelyn Koh. Ajahn said that one should ignore sensations like fear, and it will go away. How long does it take to make it go away?
You need just to keep reciting a mantra when you have fear until it disappears by itself. When it doesn't yet disappear, you just have to keep reciting the mantra. Eventually, when you stop thinking about the things that make you afraid or fearful, then your fear will disappear. See, what you try to do is stop your mind from thinking about the thing that caused the fear to arise by using the mantra to replace your thoughts. Once you have succeeded in replacing the thought, then your fear will disappear. Then you can stop. But this is a temporary measure, because when you start thinking about the thing that caused you to be afraid, you can be afraid, you can be fearful again. But if you want to get rid of it completely, then you have to use wisdom. You have to ask yourself, what are you afraid of? Death? Okay. What can you do anything about it? If you cannot, then you just have to accept death. Once you can accept death, then you will not be afraid. The reason that caused you to be afraid is because you don't want to accept death. You want to live. So you have to get rid of this desire to live. But don't get rid of this desire to live while you're sleeping, because then you want to die. Then this is wrong again. So you need to just leave life alone, leave death alone, take them as they come, accept death, accept life, then you will not be afraid of anything.
Next question from Carol Dickstein. Can you please suggest some practical daily examples of viriya?
Viriya means to have exertion. In your daily life, exert by developing mindfulness all the time. From the moment you open your eyes when you get up in the morning, start using a mantra, or start watching your body, what your body is doing. Just follow your body movement all the time. Then you are exerting, you are developing mindfulness, you are developing viriya.
Last question from J-Lo. Through meditation and contemplating on the impermanence, suffering of existence, I have gradually developed a stronger dispassion towards sight, sound, and people around. While I'm more at peace, being less caught up in attachment, I'm also conflicted that my metta seems to be diminishing. How do we continue our cultivation and balance between dispassionate about worldly issue and yet having to engage and developing metta.
Well, you have to divide your life into two different modes. When you practice you alone, don't worry about metta because you don't have to use it. But when you are involved with people, then you should bring it up. When you see people, you should smile at them. This is metta. Or if you have anything to share, share with them. This is metta. So you have to know when to use it, when not to use it. When you are alone practicing, you should not worry about metta because it can disturb your meditation. If you're meditating and you start to worry, I'm not metta, I'm alone here, am I being selfish and all this thought, then this will be the wrong time to think about metta. The time to think about metta is when you're meeting people. When you're with people, you should ask yourself, am I metta or not? Do I give or do I take? Am I selfish or am I selfless? So you have to know which mode you are in. If you are in the practice mode, your meditation mode, then you don't worry about metta. But when you are in working mode, with socializing mode, then you have to use metta. Is that all the question? Okay. That sounds pretty good. Many different kind of questions. Okay. I hope you understand the answer I give to your questions. If you still don't understand, you want more clarification, please send in more questions. We're happy to receive all questions. And when we have enough questions, then we will come and have this question and answer session. And this will be also recorded in YouTube, the Dhamma in English channel, and also in the Dhamma Life channel, YouTube and Facebook. So please send in your question. You're always welcome. So happy practice, and I hope you advance in your practice. Okay, goodbye.